Hey, this is John Campbell from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talk To Me, the guy that won't quit sending me dick pics.
Oh, you bumbling boob. This is Skeletor, and you're listening to the Talk To Me podcast. Debris Beast Man, put down that... Ah, boy.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Talk To Me, episode 256. It is the return of Skinny from Mushroom Head. We get a nice 30-minute chat in here momentarily, talking about the new album, talking about their feud with Slipknot back in the day, talking about recording at Abbey Road Studios over in England, and so much more. Fun chat anytime Skinny is on the show. And I am digging the new album, man. I really, really enjoy the addition of Miss Jackie to Mushroom Head. I saw online today that it's kind of, dividing the fan base, but I think, all in all, it's a good move. Good move for the Mushroom Head camp. Thank you guys for checking out last week's episode with John Campbell, the bass player from Lamb of God. Finally got a member of Lamb of God on, got some nice blabbermouth love. Always got to enjoy some blabbermouth love. Even got some for the JP from Clutch episode from the week before. Two blabbermouth headlines last week from the Talk To Me podcast. And so before we get into this interview with Skinny from Mushroom Head, make sure you are heading over to your Apple podcast, leaving a nice 5-star rating. Nice 5-star review. That will be much appreciated. And share this with your friends. If you're a fan of Mushroom Head, your friends need to listen to this episode. So without any more of my ramblings, let's check out a classic track from Mushroom Head. Talk to Skinny. Listen to the new single, Heresy. The Heresy, not to be confused with Heresy by Pantera. But The Heresy off of the latest album, entitled A Wonderful Life, that will be out June 19th on Napalm Records. Make sure you're checking it out. Make sure you're supporting Mushroom Head when they come through. How can you beat a band? A band full of masks and metal and water drums. Fun band to go see live, so go check them out if they come to your city soon. Hopefully this pandemic will go away. Hopefully the riots will go away. And we will all live happily ever after.
One shot put around the world. Gonna bring it to a head. We're gonna show the world that it was. One said, whatever the cost, we will never surrender. Leave a banner, no loss. When the rich wage war and the patriotic whores dig their own graves. For their own sake, another casualty, another travesty. Another motherfucking German Shepherd crowning with his teeth stabbing, bitch slapping, smack grabbing, kicking when the banks drop. Boom, boom! A bunch of Cerulo, I'm in a sight. Fuck you! I had a bad day. With the rituals, 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 words.
Hello.
Hey, Skinny. It's Josh from the Talk To Me podcast. How you doing?
Hey, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah, man. How are things? I mean, well, besides the crazy world, right. Hope you and yours are well, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, it's funny. My day job really hasn't changed much, and I almost worked more while everybody else got to stay at home and do nothing.
Yeah, you know, we're all self-employed, so it's basically the game of creating something to sell,
right,
is what it really turns into in reality. So we're just like, well, I guess we better start creating some other stuff besides live music. Luckily for Mushroom Head, you know, we've got the mask and the visuals and things to, you know, concentrate on. Like right now, we're just concentrating on doing videos.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to be home for 6 or 8 months, let's see how many we can do.
Well, did you do you know, Mushroom Head masks, you know, for the pandemic?
We actually did. It was how ironic, you know, that you got to get your shipment in from China, right?
Right.
I don't even want these masks, you know what I mean, at that point. So it took a little while, but yeah, we're actually going to be launching a website, in a couple of weeks same time as the album comes out. We had to revamp a few things over the last year or so. So we're going to come out swinging with some pretty basic masks, but yeah, we've definitely included them in the roster.
Nice. Yeah. The nice face mask, you know, would have been great for you guys to pull out for everybody.
It's funny, we used to always say it would be really cool if, you know, see a whole crowd wearing masks, but we pictured it different.
Much different. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys know, we've got Skinny from Mushroom Head on the podcast. A great new album, A Wonderful Life, out June 19th. So it's a very, very apropos title.
Yeah, how funny is that one? I mean, you know, we kind of, when we pick titles, we, you know, we try to do things that make people think, you know, it gets you to definitely leave it open for interpretation for the individual. And we very much thought this one could be a glass half full, glass half empty type of situation. And, you know, in these modern times that it's coming out in, it's very, you know, satirical indeed. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of, you know, one or the other. Depends on what kind of mood you're in, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you should do the whole, you know, with these trying times here at Mushroom Head, we are trying to, you know, start off every conversation like that, like every corporation's been doing.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the commercials are just killing me. I can't even listen to anything without, you know, how uncertain times, you know. Oh, yes, we get it. We know. We're living in it.
We must stick together.
Yeah. Right, yes. And, you know, like, you, it's always funny when you hear for, like an auto sales place, you know. It's like, yeah, come on and buy a car, but stay at home. Like, are you going to drive the thing? Come on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a mess, man. It's been a mess. You know, listening to the new album, I've been checking it out. You know, the one thing that I really, really like is the addition or the promotion of Miss Jackie. Her voice with everything, man, sounds so cool, and it just adds a nice new element to the band.
Absolutely, man. I am a big fan of female vocals in general, especially on doomier, darker stuff. You know, I'm kind of a product of the 90s, you know, back from, you know, to Bjork and Portishead and PJ Harvey and, you know, stuff like that. So we had the opportunity to do more with her. It was really, really fun this time around. She adds a lot of texture and a lot of character and dynamic that we just weren't able to, you know, pull out before. And, you know, having, you know, a weapon like that in the arsenal, so to speak, it's like it made us think, ah, man, we could write some big doomy stuff and have a real small little voice in there sometimes. So when it does come in, it's just gigantic, you know, things we didn't really, you know, think about doing before. Now that we have the opportunity, it was like, oh, there it is. Let's play around in that. And, you know, it led to a lot of experimenting, which is, I think, why this album is so diverse.
Yeah, it's definitely a different. I don't know how hardcore old school Mushroom Head fans are going to be about it. You know, you never know with, because, you know, every time you guys post anything, it's bring back this vocalist, bring back that vocalist, you know, but I think that the addition of Miss Jackie and then the other singer, if I'm not 100% on his name. So give me his name.
Yeah. Mr. Rockhorse, Steve Rockhorse. We call him Stevie mostly, but, yeah, he's a monster too.
He's got a very Mike Patton-esque vocal to him. There was a lot of really cool stuff in there. So, I mean, the addition of, like, those two together, I think have added a whole nother dimension to the band.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like one of the things that a lot of people overlook is every single album, there's been a lineup change. There's never been two consecutive. So it adds to a lot of diversity throughout the sounds. And, you know, as far as bringing people back and that type of mentality, you know, doors always open in this camp, to be honest with you. We think of this as more like Star Wars and, you know, Mortal Kombat than we do a heavy metal band, you know. You know, characters leave, they come back, we get new ones, and, you know, everyone is very much a character in this, and, you know, they play the role. It's really not a rock star camp. It's way more of an art-driven collaboration.
So with that being said, you know, there's never two lineups, you know, back-to-back, but you being the lone stalwart through the whole thing. So what is it about you that's so hard to work with?
You know, I don't really think that's the case. I think anyone that has a hard time working with me just generally has a hard time working. They don't want to work hard, and that's the reality of it. You know, I'm there to push your button. You know, as a producer, my job is to get better out of you. And when you're working with me 5-6 albums in a row, man, you can't just come in and wing it. You know, you can't phone this stuff in. This is our career. This is our livelihood. And at the end of the day, it's art that you need to be proud of. And, you know, that's where I'm always demanding the best out of anyone standing next to me, whether you're in a, you know, a studio with, you know, we're doing audio or video. You know, you're pointing a microphone at something, you're pointing a camera at something. I'm going to demand, you know, the absolute best it can be And whenever I'm working with someone, I know that that's what they expect from me. So why would I, you know, back off and say, oh, no, you get a pass because you've been hanging around for so long. No, it doesn't work like that.
No, I'm just busting balls, man. I've been in enough bands to know that, you know, especially with a band as, with as many members as you have, you know, then it's and it's not a ton of I think there's like a lost sentimentality of, you know, if you came up and you were four dudes in a garage, you know, sticking together. But I mean, at some point, you know, a band becomes a working business type unit, and you know, sometimes people just you don't want to bow out, and I get it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand, and you know, I mean, there's a lot to be said for, you know, the entire past catalog. I think a lot of people busted their ass, and we made some pretty heavy duty tunes and albums together. So you know, there's no knocking, you know, the work that. It has been done, but you know, the focus has always been the future. And like you said, it's what type of product, you know, project is this? And it was always very much a studio project, an experimental project, always bringing in extra outside guests and, you know, things of that nature. It was never supposed to be the Beatles and Metallica, you know? So, and I think, you know, a little bit of that mentality is kind of old school as well. I don't see where there are rules. If your band should be like this and it's never allowed to expand or grow or evolve, you're stuck with one sound forever. I feel sorry for those bands. I mean, good for the huge, you know, the ones that have made it and they're millions and millions of dollars in their pockets, but they're still playing songs that sound the same as they did 20 years ago. And, yeah. You know, I know they're not happy. They can't be happy playing that same shit.
Yeah, and you've got to look at a band like, you know, say like a Seven Dust or a Clutch or any of those bands that have been the same four or five dudes the entire time. It's just, you know, people will quit a band over he doesn't like the way you chew, you know, like people.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So for them to make it this long and the longevity of a four or five dudes sticking together throughout all this is pretty insane.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I you know, commend everyone that sticks through it. You know, I know that, you know, they believe in what they do. And, you know, it's nice to have others that either believe in you or you can believe with. And it's rare, especially in this day and age. So God bless them, man.
You know, I think the last time we spoke, you were getting ready for a like a 50th anniversary of the Agora. I was just going to kind of see, you know, how that went. And it was a big celebration. I know that Mark Hunter from Camaro went down and a bunch of the Cleveland stalwarts were there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it was absolutely awesome to see the place renovated and, you know, basically back up and running. It's killer. I think we've done two or three shows, maybe even four since then. But it was a really cool event, man. I was glad to be there.
And the you know, and I was just kind of looking over the last year or so of the band. I mean, you've had a couple of amazing tours last year. Obviously, the Static X tour, and you know them being back out and doing it, and you know you getting added to the bill. Such a huge tour. It was pretty much already sold out before anybody even got added to the bill. So what an amazing tour to be a part of.
Yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, another band, really good friends with Dope. We had done, you know, damn near 10 years on the road with those guys. So it was so nice to see a bunch of them and the crew. A lot of people still, you know, with Edsel and that camp. And, you know, with Static, it was like, check it out. You know, it's like the new metal kids. They were all old. You know what I mean? We've been doing it. So it was a lot of, you know, high fives and hey, how you been? It was an honor to be part of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think when Edsel was on the show, we talked about they're not necessarily ex-members of Dope. They're just members of Dope. So when it gets time to tour, he's like, who's available kind of thing. And it kind of reminded me of what you were saying earlier about you know, Mushroom Head kind of being like a Star Wars.
Yeah, it's all, you know, kind of interchangeable. You know, the hired gun thing is real. You know, I think in Edsel's camp and in those types of things, it's very, you know, hired gun and all those guys are, you know, like bounty hunters. And good for them, you know, work is work. And I get it, you know, and if that's what you love doing is getting on a stage and performing and being the best drummer or guitar player you can be. There's a lot of people that need that mentality, you know, and just come on out and let's fucking rock and make this tour kick ass and just pound every night versus, you know, worrying about, well, this tour is not convenient for this guy, so we're not going to do it. It's much more of a business approach to it, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you don't spend 20 plus years to not have it successful. I mean, what is the point, you know, when you're 12 years old, 14 years old, going, man, I want to be a rock and roll star. I want to be able to, you know, be on stage. And I mean, it's a lot of commitment to, you know, get keep that thing going more than, some bands get their cycle and they get good 5-10 years or whatever. And they're like, well, we're at the club level, so we just kind of give it up. So I don't know, man. Again, God bless all that, the hard work.
Now, I do have a fan submitted question. He's a listener. He's also a reality TV star and a star of his own, Thrift Hunters and things like that. Big guy from Cleveland, Jason T. Smith. I don't know if you know who that is or not, but
I'm not sure.
He was on Thrift Hunters on Spike TV back in the day, and he does all kinds of stuff. But he's a Cleveland guy, so he grew up being a Mushroomhead guy. He wanted to know if you were at the show at Nautica the first time Slipknot came through, and all the fans threw batteries and fought with them as they were playing.
No, I heard all about it, in the following days. But, that was way before the internet and, Facebooks and things of that nature. So, over the course of the next week or whatever, I found out, as far as what was going on, or at least I had heard of what was going on. Then I heard like 20 different stories throughout throughout the years. And then, it's just like the legend of Bigfoot.
Right.
I guess it happened and, does it fucking matter? what I mean? at that point, it was just like a silly fan fueled and media hyped, thing to talk about. This is the 90s. Any sort of news was, cool. There wasn't a whole lot back then. And then, you get a feud between bands. It's kind of East Coast, West Coast type of thing. I love, oh Lord, here we go. And, for some of the entertainment value of it, sure, a lot of us in the band were at the time into it and, played it up and had some fun. But, I look back and, I think I should have did it all when I knew it all, huh?
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's... like how silly of us. That was like, to even be, obviously we didn't have any part of it.
Right.
The band, but to even just jump on the, the bandwagon of talking to the media about it and going, yeah, well, we came first, the chicken and the egg and that whole stupid thing. It was spent a lot of time, complaining about them for nothing. So, God bless them. Look at, they're one of the biggest bands out there, man. So, it proves that, mass heavy metal and that style of entertainment is still relevant, and it's still very relevant. A lot of bands are coming out that are, more of that theatrical. Look at In This Moment. They blew up, man.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them too. I've been a fan. I like the last three records of them really, really a lot. I mean, the production on it alone is just mind blowing. And then to see them, to incorporate all the elements as far as production and costumes and masks and having extras on the stage as part of the show. I mean, it, again, here we are, talking about it. It's entertainment. So love it.
Yeah, and what's crazy is, how in the last 20, 25 years of you guys, the so many bands have kind of come through with, we're going to do this, we're going to wear masks, we're going to, do the whole thing. And it's almost got to be kind of upsetting for you in the fact of like how easy it's kind of become to kind of get masks made and finding someone to do them and the technology's there to where maybe back in the day, you had to really search out to find, someone that can make a mask, pre-internet.
Oh yeah. It seems like the last 5-6 years, it really picked up. And, like when that TV show Face Off was on, it like things really started to pick up and, the how-to videos started popping up and websites. Before that, it was like, what you had the Pittsburgh Institute of Art. It was very limited on who you knew who was doing like haunted houses and shit like that as far as getting any sort of masks or makeup or any sort of hookup like that. But we were fortunate that we had a really talented guy, Dave Greathouse. He lived, very close to us here in Cleveland and was part of Bloodview Haunted House and was just into metal and doing a lot of things. So we hooked up with him and he got us turned on to our whole, first round of latex masks. And then from then on out, it's just been, trial and error, and you know, now we do quite a bit of stuff just in house. We have different sculptors sculpt for us, and then once we've got the molds, we're, you know, kicking them out, painting them, adding accessories, and you know, it's very hands on over here.
Now, I know we talked about it last time, but you've got a little compound there where you've, you know, got the warehouse or whatnot. I mean, what's some of the oldest stuff you have? I mean, do you have some of the very early first mushroom head masks, like in boxes somewhere?
No, a lot of that stuff, it's, you know, over 20 years old. And if it was like, say, done with foam latex, this stuff just, it disintegrates over time. You know, it literally evaporates and just turns into like a 20-year-old sponge that just crinkles away. So a lot of stuff, when we're done touring with it or done using it in a video, we'll put it up online for auction to share with the fans.
Nice. Yeah, I was kind of wondering. I mean, I have tons of like old demos and stuff that I was like Mr. Hand everybody a demo, and now I don't have any of that stuff, and I'm like, oh, like every once in a while I'll pop up on eBay and I'll grab it, but I was totally Mr. Give everything away, and now I don't have anything.
Yeah, I hear you there. There's all kinds of cool first pressings, limited stuff I see all the time. I'm like, man, I had 10 of those at one point. I do still have my very first kit, my drum set that I used for the first Mushroom Head shows and first recordings. I still have that one. So that thing's been around for 20 plus years.
Nice. The other tour you guys did last year was a nice run with ICP. How was that for you guys to kind of go out with a band like that?
You know, it's always a pleasure to be, considered part of family over there, man. You know, we have done multiple tours with those guys, even in the UK. We did one with them not too long ago. We do a lot of the gathering as well. Like, their fans are just, they're hardcore and rabid, and there's just a cool crossover with Mushroom Head and ICP fans. Everyone, it's a party when we get together with those boys. It's a lot of fun, man. And they've always got really cool acts on the tour. Last time, there's a rapper by, he goes by Ouija, and we actually became pretty good friends over the course of the tour. He's a great guy, man. And it was really fun to do that run. And we did a lot of recording while we were on that run, too, as far as working on the new album. This whole album was, you know, put together from December of 2018 to January of 2020. And we did quite a bit of recording when we were out on the road, whether it was, you know, in the States with our own little portable Pro Tools rig, or when we went to London last time around, we actually got to record some vocals at Abbey Road.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it was awesome. So like every time I hear a couple of these songs, you know, I'm sitting right back there in that control room. It's actually control room B that they did Dark Side of the Moon in. So it was just really cool to to be there, and then yet alone to record, and then you hear it back on your album now. And like every time I hear that one tune, it's, you know, the tune's called The Heresy. So every time I hear Jackie's lead in line, it's like I'm sitting right there again. So Yeah, we did a lot of writing on the road, and the ICP tour was, you know, during the, you know, the two-year cycle. I think we did four tours in 2 years, and we're recording and writing the entire time.
Back to Abbey Road, I mean, you had to have got the entire band to do that walk across the street there. You know, yeah, that would have been a fantastic photo, all of you and all your gear just like walking across the street.
You know, it's absolutely what you think of when you go there and you want to do it. And then you see there's just like a sea of Asian people trying to do the same thing. You know, I mean, like 40 of them, 50 of them, like there was like a school thing or something going on that day, but they were all, you know, two at a time walking across the street, and everyone's beeping at them. You know, like the poor people that live right in that general area, I would imagine you've got tourists every day of the year, all day long, trying to capture that photo, and it's just nothing but people and cars everywhere, and like there's no open road.
There was a story.
It's so dude, it's so congested. It is not what you think when you get through. You're like, are you kidding me? So
there was a story not too long ago that with the pandemic and the shutdown, that they were actually able to repaint that for the first time in God knows how long, because there was no traffic.
This I believe, you know, and they let everyone sign the wall right over there, right in front of the studio. There's a white wall, and everyone, and they just, you know, after so much graffiti, what do? They just paint it fresh white every now and again, and then everyone signs it again. They just let it happen. It's part of the community.
Now, with we'll get back to A Wonderful Life and writing of the album. And the one thing I was listening to it today thinking was, you know, you obviously you're the drummer, and you got the, you know, the bass and the guitar and just every moving part of Mushroom Head going on, that you you know, how do you compose songs thinking about, you know, we've got so many members that maybe want to shine here and there. Do you think about that, or is it just like, we're going to write some great songs and we're going to go from there?
Yeah, it is very much go with your gut and what kind of mood. That's why, you know, the album's so diverse. It's got real good doomy stuff, real high energy stuff. And it's funny because certain songs, like just the mood of it, will say, man, that's a Stevie. That hook is definitely a Stevie thing. Or, man, that would be really cool with Jackie's voice right there, all doomy and small. Or, this thing's really heavy. You can just hear J-Man, you know, right. It's like sometimes like the parts kind of dictate who's going to go there just on their own. Other times we'll, you know, start writing a couple of arrangements and putting things together, and, you know, someone will feel, hey, I got an idea for that. And then that spawns into someone else actually singing the idea and then it becoming something bigger. There's one of the tunes on this record. It's called The Flood, and it's very traditional Mushroom Head, like early Mushrooms, Faith No More style. And that one was, it was a lot of fun. It was one of those tunes to where we had the majority of it together, but we just need a really big hook. Stevie was like, you know what, just put it on and let me try something. And it instantly, you know, turned into like a really big, powerful tune. And it was cool because everyone had, you know, the part had been blank and empty for a moment, and everyone was kind of, oh, I got an idea. And once sometimes you hear someone else's idea and you're like, oh, I'm not even going to suggest my idea. That totally smokes it. So it's really cool to have, you know, open, you know, mentality when it comes to writing and collaborating and hearing everyone's idea through. Sometimes everyone will track their part and the best idea wins, you know. And other times, like I said, someone will do something and you're like, whoa, that smokes what I had. Great. Moving on. Awesome.
And the, I did notice on that there is a tour date for August 21st. Is that still going on, or have you heard anything about that? I believe it's called like Rock on the River.
That one was actually supposed to happen in May, so they put, you know, postponed it until August, and I haven't heard anything on it. So I you know, I can't say one way or the other, but it's just not looking good. I honestly don't think the Halloween run, you know, we do it annually every year, October in the States, and it's not looking good. I know a lot of clubs and promoters want to try to do it, and so do we, but, you know, until everything opens up, you know, it's just everything's kind of up in the air. So it's hard to keep postponing stuff and go, well, we put that off until this time, you know, the third time around, you're like, you know, it's not going to happen. So I think a lot of people were wise by just going, all right, let's move everything a year. And, you know, give the world a chance, at least. It's so uncertain and such a strange thing that, you know, no one really knows how to deal with it. So, the touring and the shows are definitely iffy. It's completely in the air.
Now, I know you talked earlier about doing as many videos and things like that you could at this time, you know, since you're kind of at home. And with releasing an album, typically you're going to go on tour to support the album, but technically you can't right now. So, I mean, are you guys looking into doing the Facebook Live stuff and live streaming a show and all that stuff?
Right now, no, we're just focusing on videos and working on other forms of streaming media and content. I think everyone's trying to scramble and do a live, you know, some sort of streaming type of show, but it's just really not in the cards for us right now. Especially, it's a lot of work getting multiple cameras, get a whole bunch of people together. We've got, you know, 8 people on stage, so we've got to get a decent sized stage. It's got to be lit well. There's just a lot to it. It's not like, you know, again, it's not like the Beatles sitting down and, you know, I can just pick up a little shaker and go, you know.
Right.
I mean, we have discussed doing some acoustic stuff. Okay. But, you know, for right now, we're just focusing on the videos.
And then June 19th is also the date of the new Lamb of God album. So, I mean, that's good, you know, putting out an album the same day as Lamb of God at this point.
Well, I think it's great. We've known those guys forever. Did a lot of touring with them early in the early 2000s. And, you know, it's great just to see metal alive and well, coronavirus or not. People are just moving forward with their lives and their art. And like I said, it's great to see.
And, you know, just kind of going back, we'll go back to Cleveland just a little bit in the history of Cleveland. And, you know, there's such a music town. And I was listening to a great podcast about Paola not too long ago. And they were talking about, you know, Cleveland was kind of a test market, if you would say, about, you know, checking out new bands and new rock and roll back in the 50s and in the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatnot. Just they would send it to Cleveland, and if it went off in Cleveland, then it would go everywhere else, you know, and that's just added to the huge musical legacy that Cleveland has.
Yeah, it was really cool. There was quite a bit to be said for the radio scene back then, you know. If you were played in the Cleveland area, man, you did really well. And I mean, even all the way to you know, the fun little stories about like Rush,
yeah,
being broken, you know, because of, you know, the airwaves, you know, reaching across the lake over there, you know, and to where Cleveland was one of the first ones picking up stuff from Canada and saying, whoa, check out this band. And, you know, that's part of the rumor anyways, that, you know, Cleveland helped break the band Rush, you know. So there's a lot of history here. So it's cool to be part of it. We're, you know, we'll be the joke of the industry and the world forever. But, you know. Now, I guess maybe not as bad as Akron, though. Oh!
No! Yeah, I used to play, I played Ron's Crossroads a couple of times back in the 90s, so can't hate on Akron too much.
Yep, no, absolutely. No, it's just, you know, where it goes right now, you know.
I do have a lot of friends up in the Cleveland area, and I do have a very vocal friend up there that's, you know, he's like Cleveland through and through. Like, he bleeds orange, you know, for the Browns. But you know, he was very upset with how everything was going down in Cleveland with, you know, the rioting and the looting and, you know, burning down. And he's like we've tried so long and so hard to get the city beautiful, and now it's just all going to shit.
Yeah, it's pretty disrespectful. I think people have been, they were cooped up too long. Now they got out for the weekend and they don't know how to behave. You know what I mean? Everyone needs to be grounded, you know, go back home, go back to confinement, man. I don't understand it either. You know, I mean, I know protests and riots go hand in hand and it's part of history, but I mean, I think it's something that we can leave in history. You know, honestly, I don't really like mixing art and politics, but
right.
I think the protesting, you know, there's a fine line between just taking it to another level of it, then it becomes demonstrating, you know, and I don't see the need for it.
Yeah, it's definitely a wonderful life, right?
You know, and that is exactly why we picked that style title.
The
because it really is, it's just how you look at it day to day, right?
Right. Is the Heresy out yet? Is it out fully yet?
The song or the video?
The song
is. Okay. Yes, the song is. Yes, the song is. And I think video launches tomorrow.
Okay, good. Well, then I will end this with the Heresy. And just kind of because, I mean, that when that finally kicked in, I was like, wow, that's an amazing Mushroom Head song. So kind of give me a little backstory on the song, and that's what we'll end this interview with.
You know, one of the things with that one, I'd mentioned it earlier, every time I hear that tune, as soon as I hear Jackie start that opening line. Those vocals were tracked at Abbey Road, so every time, you know, that song comes on and I hear those vocals, I'm literally, I'm sitting right there in the same room they did Dark Side of the Moon in. So it's truly, truly an inspiring song today, you know, still today.
Fantastic, man. Well, it sounds like you got your Skype going off over there, so I better let you go. But
it was, yeah, I got another one happening. Oh, man. But, man, hey, thank you so much for the time. Really enjoyed talking to you, man.
All right, man, take care. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
Yeah.
All right, huge thank you to Skinny from Mushroom Head for taking the time. Always great to have him on the podcast. Always nice to get a fan-submitted question from reality TV star Jason T. Smith. Make sure to go back and check out some of his episodes of the Talk To Me podcast. Those are always fun. And once again, thank you for listening each and every week. If you've listened this far and enjoyed this podcast, you may enjoy my other podcast with Ian Wadley, formerly of the Rock and Metal Combat podcast, entitled Diablos in Podcastica, where we talk all things music, some movies, and give our recommendations for new albums, old albums. So go check it out, Diablos in Podcastica. And for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you soon.